Allegro WIPR 91.3 FM presents Reflections, hosted by Jorge Gonzalez, a fresh new way to look at events with our well-being in mind.
Welcome to Reflections, your host Jorge Gonzalez. I hope you've had a good day if it's Thursday. Wish you a good day if it's the repeat program on Friday. Buenos dias, como siempre sugiere mi amigo José Irizarry. I don't have a guest today. I'm gonna swing it solo, and I have an area that is pretty deep, and I'm gonna ask you to be a little bit patient with me as we go through it. It's pretty critical in the sense of this program, which is trying to analyze, you know, what is well-being, what is happiness, what is the flourishing, and what the old school Aristotle called the good life, and I'm going to combine two things: one, the epistle and the gospel and the sermon on Sunday on humility, and then bring it into this book called the Good Life. Lessons from the world's longest scientific study of happiness. And basically the book is To Create a More Meaningful and Satisfying Life. It's by Robert Waldinger and Mark Schultz. And they're now, I think, the fourth generation heading the longest study in terms of generation, going into the fourth generation of what, you know, results in well-being and happiness. Wellness, he calls it different things throughout the book, and in this program we call it, I prefer, you know, well-being. So I'm gonna get into that with some of the things we've talked before, like, you know, for you when I am gone, which also goes into, you know, what's happiness, and sort of compare it to what's said here. So that's the goal. Go through this great book. I just received it. I had heard about the study. We've talked about it on numerous occasions. It's really very famous. And, you know, bottom line, no secret. And we've gone through this quite often. The most important factor in terms of our well-being are good interpersonal relationships. And we've discussed that in that. But this particular book, which, you know, was based on that study going back way into the 30s, it analyzes how to work and improve those relationships, and is, you know, the whole book is devoted to that, and it's very, very well put together. And I want to sort of share it with you, reflect on it with you, and hope it's you know, valuable for you in this particular program. So let's start off with the epistle and the sermon and the gospel, and they all had to do with humility, and basically the epistle speaks about it's the Ecclesiastics, and basically speaks about we should proceed with humility, and that the great persons, the greater they are, the more important is that they be humble. El hombre prudente medita en su corazón las sentencias de los otros, y su gran anhelo es saber escuchar. You know, the prudent person, man, meditates on what others say to him, and looks forward to listening. But that's only about a six line epistle. And then the sermon was the famous story of Jesus telling in this parable a story of guests arriving at a wedding and going to the best seats in on the table, and being requested by the host to please go back because there were more important people. So, you know, the parable, Jesus says, you know, be humble, start at the end of the table. And if people, if the host asks you to go forward, you will look very good above people. Whereas, you know, if you're up at the front and ask you to go back, you're going to be kind of embarrassed. Pretty simple story, but very important, of the importance of humility. And the sermon, and by Padre Danilo at our church in Belén, in San Patricio, described how critical that particular virtue of humility is. Because if you're humble, so many things fall in place. You're not envious, you know. So you're not looking to downplay and criticize other people and try to be them or be better than them. You're grateful. You're grateful for things around you, people around you, and you're kind and empathetic, and you listen. You're honest. There's just a whole bunch of things fall into place. And as we've discussed, these different values, which, you know, I call personal values, they all have to interlock. They can't be isolated, and they're transversal in that regard. So this value of this personal value of humility is one of the critical ones. And at one moment, we went over the different personal values that I try to live by and fight for, you know, throughout my life, and not never easy. And humility it's always a balance, because on the one hand, you have to be modest and humble, but on the other hand, you have to have self-confidence in order to move forward in your personal self, as the, you know, what how you want to achieve and how you want to look to other people, how you want to carry yourself throughout your life, and it's, you know, whether it's in sports and everything you do, you have to have self-confidence, and yet at the same time, you know, you have to be humble, and it's a difficult balance. And the way that I see it is, in terms of trying to balance it, is first of all recognizing that no matter, you know, where you are in the profession and in the school and whatever you're doing, there's people that are better than you. That's the first thing, and the most important thing. And the second, I think, even more important, is that whatever you have and frankly been able to achieve was given to you. I believe, you know, in religiously, spiritually, in God. But if it's fate that you don't believe in, but then it's fate. But these talents, these things were given to you, and they can be taken away in a second. Whether it's your intellectual, mental capacities, or your any aspect of your physical well-being, or your emotional, standing, and we see it all the time. And you just have to be conscious of the fact that in a split second, all that can be taken away. And I think those two things, for me, balance, you know, the need to be self-confident. And of course, you know, the opposite of humility is what we've been discussing with Abordo del Normandy, with Felix Benitez Rexach, and the Epstein, you know, Filthy Rich, the documentary, and you know, where basically the narcissist thinks of themselves, have no or little empathy with anybody else's problem, and everything, you know, revolves around them, so that and they're of course the greatest, and they do no wrong, and they don't apologize, et cetera, et cetera. We don't have to go into it. The book, you know, then we discuss with Don Felipe Felix Benitez Rexach was the ultimate narcissist. And we covered that. And incidentally, before I go on, my webpage is up and running pretty well. And one of the best things about it is that you can now access my latest programs. The recordings are there. And for example, if you miss the two sessions, the two programs where I had Rosana Matienzo Carrion, the author of A Bordo Normandy, and we talked about this her great book. They're there, and this one will be there if you're not able to listen to all of it, or if you want to hear certain portions of it, to then send me a text and say you didn't agree with me at all. So that's a big thing. It's taken me quite a while to put it together, and it's up and running. It's Reflections by Jorge Gonzalez is the webpage, www.reflectionsbyjorgegonzalez.com. So take a look at it and give me any comments. There's a contact comments section. And you know my telephone number. It's 939-333-1010. That was a little bit of a tangent, but I wanted to get that in. So this balance between the self-confidence and the humility, and then the ultimate non-humble, the narcissist is pretty clear, and I think we should strive for that balance. Tough always. Like most everything else in life, it's not clear where you exude your self-confidence and move forward, and where you have to make sure that you're modest and humble, and often you have to do it at the same time. And I thought I would go a couple of articles that came out and that I think kind of point out this thing. The first one, and I was really surprised. You end up reading some articles, and you're really surprised at how much depth there are to them, which you didn't expect. There's this article in El Nuevo Día, the 2nd of September, and it's on Diego García Pastrana. He's the son of our former governor, García Padilla, Alejandro García Padilla, and he is now going to Spain to play on a team, CD Los Califas, in soccer, and the three things stand out in the article. The first is there's about six sections where he's expressing gratitude, gratitude to the equipment, the people, the trainers in Spain, to the league that helped him develop, to his parents and the coaches, in Puerto Rico, to his teammates that have received him in Spain and helped him along, it's just a continuous expression of gratitude, which a first step. It's part of being humble. I mean, I'm here because of the help of so many people, and all. The second thing it demonstrates, he actually is humble. He says, I says I don't want to be better than anyone else. I just want to self-improve. He says, la enseñanza que yo me llevo todo es de tratar de mejorar cada día y no compararme con otras personas, sino conmigo mismo. Says the teaching is that this I take every day is that I try to improve daily and not to compare myself to other persons, but with myself. And then the third thing that stands out in the article is his discipline. Whether it's sticking to, sleeping and his nutrition and making sure that within the realm of what is important for him, he's balancing it so that his role as which he says he's from very young youth, he wants to be a soccer player. So it's gratitude, humility, and discipline, and a young guy. I mean. Let me see, how old is he? I don't know if it appears, but he must be, 17 or 16 or so, super, super mature kid. The other thing, kind of on the other side of the coin, is Warren Buffett. Let me see if I can pull out what he said. In his book, his biography, The Snowball, he says, the people you spend time with, your friends, your partner, even your co-workers, can shape your future. If they are kind, honest, and caring, you'll become more like them. But if they bring anger or sadness, that pain will follow you too. It's better to hang out with people better than you. Pretty, that's the warning. Then he says, in 1998, this is the article, and it says, Warren spoke to a group of students at the University of Florida Business School. He asked them a powerful question. He said, if you could buy 10% of one classmate's future success, who would you pick? He told them they shouldn't pick the person with the best grades or the highest IQ. Instead, they should choose someone who is kind, honest, works hard every day, and has strong character. And then it goes on to explain, you know, Warren, you know, could have gone to Wall Street, but he stayed in Omaha, Nebraska, and has lived a very modest life. He still lives in a house he purchased in 1958 for $31,500. And he drives, you know, a 2014 Cadillac that he purchased at a good deal because it had hail damage. He's a character. He reminds me, you know, also I remember Frank Unanue, who was one of my heroes and great friends, in paz descanse. But, you know, he was driving a 20-year-old car and just very, very humble, even though he was, you know, the president of Goya. And his wife is the same. So the great people should be humble, as that epistle says, and those are examples. In line with that, there were two eulogies, quelas, in the newspaper, people I don't know. One is Barbara Rivera, and the quelas by Wendy's group, you know, Colón Herrera. And basically, you know, donde gente, respetuoso leadership, a genuine friend, enthusiastic, honest, and humble. You know, you want what is the kind of thing you want written about you when you're dying? The same thing with Juan E. Rivera Diaz, and this he worked with Vicente Suarez, and again, you know, profesional íntegro. Comprometido, generoso, cuya humildad y vocación de servicio marcaron a todos. Again, you know, committed, integral, and whose humility and vocation, you know, marked everybody. So, and there were two of them, and they both, you know, stand out, you know, for that humility thing, which is that value that we're talking about. When we come back, I'm going to give you a story of my life where were two prizes, and it was an important moment that took me a long time to recognize which prize was best. We'll be right back, right after the pause. This is Jorge Gonzalez, Reflections.